Hello and welcome. This is Matt McCall. Thanks for joining me here on Moneyline today. We've got a big show for you. Stocks are rebounding after last week, the worst week of the year for markets. We're also going to talk about Canadian cannabis. One of the Canadian cannabis stocks is actually profitable. They're making money. They're hitting their goals, boosting the market. And then finally, a debate that's really brewing right now, Bitcoin versus gold. I'll let you know what side I am on right now. Again, coming up right now on Moneyline.
The buck starts here. Moneyline with Matt McCall.
All right, let's jump into the first topic here. As I just mentioned, stocks are rebounding. However, they're bouncing back from the worst week of 2019. We've had a lot going on in the last week since I spoke to you last. We had the S&P pulling back now about 5.5% to 6% from an all-time high. We're off those lows in the last couple of days, but that's how much we pulled back. We also have that 10-year yield. And what that means is it's the interest rate on a 10-year government bond. So you're going to hear this a lot if you turn on CNBC or any of the networks or look online. They talk about the 10-year yield. Well, it's hitting the lowest level since 2016, so a 3-year low. Now, what that means to you at home is if you were to say, you're going to loan some money to the U.S. government. And the U.S. issues what are called treasuries. That's how they raise money, and they issue them to people here in the States, corporations, institutions, other governments. Chinese government owns a bunch of our treasuries. So they're saying, hey, we'll sell you our debt. We want to borrow money from you for 10 years, and we're going to give you 1.6%, right around there. So that's where it fell down to, 1.6% a year. And you say to yourself, why the heck would I want to loan money to the government, whether I'm on the left or the right? You're probably not happy with the government most times of your life. Why would I loan them money? Why would I believe the politicians in D.C. are going to do better with their money than I can, and I'm giving it to them for only 1.6%? You're nuts. If you ask me where I'd rather have my money, bury it in a hole making zero or giving to the government, I'd probably say bury it in a hole. Even though it's a really bad financial decision, most likely. But I just don't trust giving it to them at 1.6%. I do trust you'll get your money back at the end, but 1.6% barely keeps up with inflation. There's so much more out there. Stock market, you name it. There's so many opportunities out there outside of that. So that, though, tells us people are so nervous that they're willing to give the U.S. government money for 1.6%. Even worse, there's now over $15 trillion, with a T, dollars around the world in negative yielding bonds. Again, may sound confusing, but I'll make it very simple for you. What that means is you thought 1.6% was bad. This is actually a negative yield. So what people are doing is they're saying, hey, take my money, borrow it, and I'm going to pay you a little bit for borrowing my money. It seems absolutely insane, but it's going on. Germany, several other countries around the world right now have negative yields on their government bonds. I'm not going to get into why that happens because it gets very wonky and it's a long show if I do that. The point is it shows the fear out there right now that people are willing to do that versus go into the stock market. And then, of course, China. China is really what drove this. I'm going to say China itself, the issue with China. We had Trump last week come out and tweet that he's going to put new tariffs on billions more of Chinese goods coming into the country. And that, of course, sent stocks down much lower and fear that this trade, I still refuse to call it a trade war because it's still affecting such a little amount of our GDP. But this trade scuffle, it's now getting a pretty ugly scuffle out there. It's not yet a full-on war, but it's a pretty darn good scuffle and battle. That is why stocks have fallen. But the silver lining to all this is the fact that with the market pulling back, the fear of a global recession is likely going to lead the Fed to cut interest rates even more. We know last week they cut them 25 basis points, the first time they cut interest rates in 10 years. And now I believe the odds of that happening a couple more times, at least one, maybe two more times this year, is now extremely high. If that does happen, you will see the stock market continually hit new highs in the next 4.5, 5 months, whatever's left in a year. So you want to be in stocks right now. This pullback that we had in the last week and a half has been a great opportunity to buy. And within this is one of the greater opportunities, and that's actually investing in China. And Ray Dalio, who you probably heard of him. He runs the largest, Bridgewater, largest hedge fund in the world right now. He's got a big book called Principles that came out 2 years ago. Great book if you don't have it. It's called Principles, all black cover. He said not investing in China is very risky. Not investing in China, but not investing in China is very risky. And I got to tell you, I don't agree with everything in his book. I think he's a great guy. Does a lot of good things, philanthropy, you name it. But I do absolutely agree with him this. If you miss out on this Chinese opportunity, you're going to be kicking yourself in a year, 5, 10 years from now. So again, wild week last week. Things are bouncing back. But the bottom line is we have an opportunity. All right, topic number two. Canadian cannabis companies are actually making money. This sounds like something that you should be striving for anyway, which they are striving for, but they actually are making money. For the first time ever, a large Canadian cannabis company reported a quarterly profit. Aphria, symbol APHA, recorded a 5 cent, well, Canadian 5 cents, so it's not as good as it sounds, but it's still a profit. 5 cent Canadian profit, beating estimates by 15 Canadian cents. So a big beat. Revenue came in at 128.6 million Canadian dollars, beating by over 29 million, up 969% over the same quarter last year. They now believe that by the end of this quarter, or this year, this fiscal year, which just started, they're in fiscal 2020, that they'll have annualized revenue of over $1 billion, which means that they believe that they'll be bringing in at least $250 million a quarter. So that's a lot of money, revenue-wise, obviously. But it's also the fact that they are turning this business into a profitable business. You know, with my early stage investing, the way that we look at companies is often not at what they're making, the bottom line, the profits, the earnings. Because a lot of early stage companies are taking all the money that they bring in as far as revenue and sales and reinvesting it right back into the company. So they're not pulling out that profit. And that's normal. If a small cap company, a very small company, is not reinvesting, they're just pulling out the profits, you probably don't have a lot of growth potential. Think of like a lawnmower business. You're cutting lawns. You only have so many lawnmowers. If you're pulling out the profits, you're making good money, consistently cutting grass every week, that's a great business. I did it as a kid growing up, would hustle around and cut lawns everywhere. It's a great business, a great side hustle for kids. The problem is, unless you reinvest in more lawnmowers and more people, you're never going to grow the business. So we're okay with not seeing earnings early on. However, one of my rules I look at, there must be a path to profitability. So there must be a way to make money eventually. I always believed the Canadian cannabis companies would get there, but Aphria, they surprised because they did it a little bit earlier than myself and analysts expected. And this led to the stock being up 40% in one day last week. 40% pop. Granted, the stock's been beaten down quite a bit, but it popped 40% in one day. And it's leading me to believe that we had a great buying opportunity right now. And, you know, for some of the Canadian stocks are still a bit overvalued, but there's some nice ones out there. But where I see the opportunity is in the U.S. cannabis companies. Because right now, the U.S. market trades at major discount to the Canadian companies because of one major factor. And a very important factor, the fact that cannabis is illegal at the federal level in this country. It's crazy that it is, but it is. So the fact that it's illegal and the banking rules really aren't set, you know, there are banks that accept money from cannabis companies. You pay large fees. We have actually one in our newsletter, but they pay large fees. So it's good for the bank, but it's not good for the cannabis companies. The Safe Banking Act should be passed soon, I hope. And the bigger thing is what's going to happen is I still believe before the election next year, next November 2020, that Trump will either legalize cannabis or make roads to get very close to legalizing it and use that as a platform to attempt to get reelected. And I think it will work. So that's really important. But back to U.S. opportunity here real quick before we wrap up this segment. They're trading at about 1/7. I'm going to pull up a sheet right here that I printed out just before I came over. And this sheet shows you just how undervalued they are. Of course, I have 30 different sheets here. I'm not sure which one's which. You can hear me rustling. But I took three Canadian companies, big Canadian companies, looked at price to sales because, again, most of them don't have earnings yet. Price to sales. Let me throw you a couple numbers out. 34, 11 and change, 7.5. Those are the price of sales forward for Canadian companies. Now give me four more numbers. 0.7, 1.3, 1.7, 2.4. That's U.S. Let's call that average 1.5. Let's call it a Canadian average up around 11. They're trading almost 10 times higher than the U.S. stocks. That is where you're going to see opportunity. Because when the U.S. legalizes cannabis, which it's inevitable in my opinion, the U.S. immediately becomes the largest market in the world. So large, if you add every other country together, it's still larger than the rest of the world combined. So at that point, the stocks I just mentioned that are beaten down, that are trading at discounts, should be trading at the same level of Canadian companies or even higher. So that's a 10x possibility, if not a 20x possibility for some of these companies. But you have to be in now. And these Canadian stocks, these U.S. stocks, anything in cannabis recently in the last 4 months have gotten beaten down. I think it's one of the greatest opportunities you're going to have in this sector. You cannot miss out on this. Does it mean it goes up tomorrow or next week? I have no idea. But I will tell you this. I'm extremely confident a year from now, 2 years from now, and 5 years from now, there's a couple 10-baggers right in front of you right now that you're ignoring because you're concerned that the market pulled back for a couple months. This is the very early innings of a long-term trend. The opportunity in cannabis is right now. All right, topic number three. This is really a great topic. It's a great debate, too. I've had the debate with many people. Lucky today that I'm debating myself, so unfortunate for everybody out there, I win no matter what you say. The debate is between gold and Bitcoin. Gold is something that they've had followers for so long. We were talking in the office about people who just love gold. And to me, people who love gold are typically, and don't think this has a negative way, even though it's going to come across extremely negative. I'm not trying to be negative. People who love gold are typically similar to people who are far left or far right. You can't debate with them. You know, I'm somewhat in the middle when it comes to politics. I'm opinionated, but I'm in the middle. You try to debate somebody in the far left, you're wrong no matter what. They have their fine line. They're not moving from it. Same thing in the far right. Nope. They're following the line. You can't ever change their mind. They're very closed-minded. A lot of gold investors, I'm not saying everybody owns gold like this at all, because I own gold for clients in 2006 for a while, and those are biggest holding for a couple of years. I'm not saying that at all. But what I'm saying is there's those gold bugs out there that refuse to hear anything negative about gold. So please, if you're that person, if you haven't turned off already, or if you're not that pissed off at me, stay tuned because I'm going to see if I can convince you right now when it comes to Bitcoin. So Bitcoin, of course, much more volatile than gold. But if you put money into gold 3 years ago, the same time put money into Bitcoin, say you put $10,000 into each, that $10,000 would be a little over $11,000 now in gold. So 10, 15% gain. We've had a little bounce in the last couple of days. Bitcoin, you'd be at 156,000. So about 15 and a half times your money versus making 10 to 11%. 15 and a half times your money. So that's what, 1,400% versus 10%? That's insane. I'm not saying that continues going forward, but what I'm saying is there is a place in my opinion for Bitcoin and gold. The arguments that you make for gold, it's scarcity. It could be used as a currency. It's validity. You actually can feel it, touch it. There's so many different things. The same argument and an even better argument can be made for Bitcoin. Because yes, there's a scarcity. It's only so many could be mined. Can you actually touch and feel it like gold? No, but it's out there. You have a code key to your Bitcoin, verified by millions of people around the world. That is yours. Can you use it to pay for things? Yeah, actually much easier than you can for gold. Have you tried to go to the store recently with a little piece of gold and say, hey, this is worth $2,000. Can I get $1,000 change? No, they'd laugh at you. Get the hell out of here. Bitcoin, there's a lot of stores and more every single day. You can take your phone, go like that, and you pay for it. So it's a true currency. It's a better currency than gold at this point. And the other thing is, again, not to get too political, but we are in a state right now in our country around the world that people are uprising against the government. I know it happens in every generation, but this is going to lead to the fact of less trust with the government, less trust with all the tech companies out there looking down on you, that they want something that really is kind of libertarian. They don't want the government involved in currency. They don't want the Fed manipulating the value of a dollar. They don't want the Chinese National Bank devaluing the yuan and affecting all global markets as it did this week. People don't want that. They want supply and demand. And Bitcoin is simple supply and demand. Whether you believe it or understand it, I'm telling you this. Do not ignore the upside when it comes to Bitcoin. Big gains have been made, but I will say this. And people say, well, where is it going? You know, Bitcoin's at like 11,500 or so, right by between 11 and 12,000. Every time it pulls back to 10,000, I buy more personally with a click of a button on my phone. And I do believe that 50,000 is attainable in the next 12, 18 months. I think 100,000 is attainable in the next 4 or 5 years, if not higher, which is another 10 bagger. So we look for 10X opportunities. I think it's a 10X opportunity. Gold, I don't think has a possibility to go up 60 or 70% in the next 10 years. There may be one spike, but I don't think it's going to happen. There's no way it goes up 10X. If it does, this world's done. You're fighting for food. Your gold is worthless. So don't worry about your gold at that point. Bitcoin is the place to be. I'm not saying go out and sell your gold, but if you have big, large gold in your portfolio, start thinking about diversifying that. Bitcoin versus gold. Ding, 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 ding. The winner is Bitcoin. And what a way to end today's show with Bitcoin taking the winner's circle. So we have Bitcoin beating gold. We have Canadian cannabis producers generating a profit for the first time ever. It's historical. Great news for the Canadian cannabis companies. However, the better opportunities in U.S. stocks. And then, of course, a bounce back from the worst week of the year. I see a great opportunity right here. So don't forget, you can always reach out to us. You can find me on Twitter at Matthew McCall. You can also go to McCallMoneyWire.com. We have all of our free articles we post throughout the week. The podcast will be posted there as well every week. We also have access to our paid services. We have two newsletters, Investment Opportunities, Early Stage Investor. If you like what I'm talking about, I really suggest you check it out. We're doing a lot of great things. I just looked recently. Last year, we've had 12 doubles, meaning 12 stocks that have gone up at least 100% in our portfolios. So we're having a heck of a year, and I think that does continue to see great opportunity. But again, if you want to reach out with any questions, we'd love to read them on air. Matthew McCall on Twitter. Again, thanks so much, VIP members. Hang tight. We got a great little story coming to you. It was on the cover of Barron's this week, right around the corner. Again, this is Matt McCall. Thanks for watching Moneyline.
Thanks for listening to Moneyline with Matt McCall. To find more information, head over to McCallMoneyWire.com. That's McCallMoneyWire.com.